Welcome to The Aging Scientist, focusing on all things science and aging. I'm Clarissa Giebel, and I'm a researcher at the University of Liverpool. This season focuses on care homes and long-term care. Having worked with Maastricht University for over a decade now, I continue to learn a lot about innovative care solutions from the Netherlands. And that's why we do international research, to learn the best practice and bring that over to other settings. So for today's episode, I am joined by Professor Hilde Verbeek, Dr. Bram de Boer, and PhD student Mara Brewers to find out more about innovative long-term care approaches. Hilde is Professor of Long-Term Care Environments and Vice Chair of the Living Lab in Aging and Long-Term Care, a structural and formal collaboration with 9 long-term care collaborations. Bram is Assistant Professor working at the Department of Health Services Research at Maastricht University. His PhD focused on the effects and experiences of people with dementia living on green care farms. His work now focuses on innovative nursing home care environments for people with dementia and how elements of these environments can be implemented into regular nursing homes. Mara is a PhD candidate at Maastricht as well since October 2020. Her PhD focuses on innovative care environments and how relocations to these environments impact on residents, family members, and staff. So welcome, everyone. Great to have the 3 of you on the show from the Netherlands. So Hilde and Bram, maybe let's start off with you two. You are working internationally quite a bit, particularly you, Hilde, and you're seeing different care approaches. Would you say that the Netherlands is at the forefront of advanced and good quality care for older people and those with dementia?
Well, thank you, Clarissa, and also thank you for having us on the show. We're really proud of that. And to answer your question, I think a lot of good things are happening across the world, of course, but I would be proud to say that I do think that the Netherlands is at the forefront in some areas, especially in innovating in dementia care environments. For example, already in the 1980s, the first small-scale home care environment, the Anton Bieckhoffje, was developed in Haarlem. We also have the first dementia village, Hoogwijk, and those are concepts that have been now spreading across the world. We did a large European study, Right Time, Place Care, and there we compared quality of care, quality of life across countries. And I think the Netherlands was one of the top countries, I do think, for example, also in our models and approaches. So I'm definitely proud of the things we're doing in the Netherlands.
What about you, Bram? What do you think?
I agree, basically. I think compared to other countries, yes. At the same time, of course, also in the Netherlands, we have a lot of variation between facilities and between organizations, but we'll get to that maybe later on. But also looking at, for instance, where I did my PhD on, which was about green care farms, also in that sense, looking at green care farms providing 24-hour nursing home care, that's also something which is quite unique, which started developing in the Netherlands. And now you see in other countries interest in that as well. So yeah, I agree.
I like that you picked up on the dementia village. Is it in Amsterdam, the first one, Hilde?
Yeah, near Amsterdam, but for people abroad in Amsterdam.
It's interesting to see that the concept of the dementia village is spilling over to the UK as well, and I'm sure to many other countries. And I know, Hilde, you and I, we've started working with a care home, and Bram as well, a few years ago, trying to redesign the garden, for example, and think about a dementia village. But obviously, it's such a huge undertaking. There's a lot of resources and time and staff required, isn't there, to bring these innovative solutions?
Yeah, and I think one important aspect, and I think Bram and Mara also know, it's about the whole vision on care and on how you want to empower older persons and their loved ones in their daily lives. And I think that's one of the key things which all these concepts have in common, that they really want to do that from a more social or psychosocial model approach.
Yeah. And maybe to add on that, I think if you look at the care vision that you didn't talk about, it's very often you still look at it from an organizational perspective. But when you want to achieve a care village or similar kind of concepts, it's actually how do you get the neighborhood into these facilities as well? And that's a different way of looking at it. And then you need collaboration with neighborhood, but also with other organizations that can provide well-being, for instance, for your residents.
I think that's nice that you both pick up on that. It's not just an individual or an individual organization. It's the whole concept, isn't it? The whole community.
Yeah, especially. Yeah, and exactly. And I do think that across the world, you see now more and more initiatives of also, for example, intergenerational aspects of bringing the neighborhood in, bringing children in, bringing schools in, more attention for activity, physical activity, doing meaningful activities, and how can we accomplish that within the whole care environment. And within our research, we say, well, the care environment consists of physical aspects like the architecture, the design, things you can touch. But it's also what Bram mentions, the social context, social environment, the neighborhood, the residents and loved ones, family members, staff who make the environment. And that's all, you know, the rooftop about the organizational context and how we organize things, the culture behind it as well.
Which may make it a slower process in implementing everything in other countries, I suppose, as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's fully dependent on cultural context. I remember I lived in Manchester, you know, in 10 years ago, something about that. And when we said, well, we're going to do green care farming for residents with dementia, and there people said, ooh, but is it health and safety? The whole health and safety culture is different in the UK compared with the Netherlands. Like, ooh, are residents allowed to have a knife? And I said, yes, they are. So it's that whole cultural aspect, which is important to take into account, but I believe it is possible in every system, in every country, and with every cultural adaptation. It looks just differently, I think.
Absolutely. That made me laugh so loud, and I really just had to mute my laughter there, because as a German living here and being in British meetings, the first thing you always hear is, right, there will be no alarm, but if the fire alarm should go off, this is the nearest access, here's your toilets, please be aware of this. You'd never get that in a German or possibly Dutch meeting.
I remember I wasn't allowed to work behind my desk and my computer unless a specific person came to my office and run through a whole checklist. Yeah, that's not our way of working.
Yeah. So you've both just touched on quite a few components, I suppose, of long-term care, but if someone came up to you, and I'm asking this to all three of you, if someone came up to you on the street and asked, innovative long-term care, what do you mean by that exactly? What would you say, Mara, if you had to explain it to someone?
Well, I had to say that we are still working on actually defining that concept. We already know from previous research that it's more than only the physical environment. So there has to be more than just a pretty new environment to make something innovative. But actually, the key constructs that make something really innovative is still something we are looking into also within my research project. So I would answer that that's quite a million-dollar question, actually.
Yeah. Would you others agree?
Yeah, I think so. And I think maybe it wouldn't be possible to answer it in a brief way or in a short way. I think if you look at the whole movement in long-term care, that's what we said already. We're moving away from this medical model of care slowly. And then you see there's more focus on this person-centered care. Now you see things like relationship-centered care coming up. And I would say like innovative long-term care basically would mean that organizations actually manage to put these things in practice, and then we believe that is can be achieved by looking at this combination of physical, social, and organizational aspects in a care environment. So yeah, it's no easy answer, that's true.
No, and I do think what they all accomplish is the feeling that they give you. Once you enter the door, it makes you feel like you. It has your own identity, that you have a meaning, even at the end of your life, that you can contribute to something. And that's for you as a person who comes into the home, but it's for the people who work there, for the people who live there, for the people who visit there. So for everybody. So it's that ecosystem which they have in place. And that makes it very difficult to grasp what Mara and Bram says. But I do think that with our research, we hope to give some building blocks to it. So it's not a yes or no, it's more like a continuum, I think.
And I suppose if you say if someone comes in and they feel as a person, as their own person, it's quite individualistic as well. There's no one size fits all approach to this.
Yeah, and I think it's extremely important, because what we've seen in the Netherlands is that sometimes one solution, say Dementia Village, may sound working perfect in that context, and what people do is copy everything and put it in another context, and that's just not how it works, because it's co-created within a local context. And what we're searching for is what are the universal building blocks, so people feel autonomous, so people feel within their own identity and that they are valued and meaningful, but it's the way it looks in each context may differ.
Yeah, definitely taking that individual angle as well. And Mara, you were saying you're studying for your PhD at the moment, and did you start during the pandemic? Yes, in October 2020. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yes, I did. I started full on in the pandemic while working from home. But I think I was quite fortunate, because I had the luck that I was following relocations within long-term care. And every time when there was a relocation, we kind of had a gap where more was allowed, and I was actually allowed to go there and observe. So in a way, I wasn't locked in my own home. I was going places. I was able to visit long-term care facilities. So I think I was quite fortunate in that sense.
As part of your PhD, you're going out to care homes and observing staff or residents, or what do you do as part of it?
Yes, well, my research focuses on relocations to innovative care concepts. So we look at several aspects. So we look at experiences. How is a relocation from a more traditional long-term care facility to a more innovative long-term care facility experienced? And we do that by doing semi-structured interviews. We're also looking at procedures. So how, what procedures are they following throughout the entire relocation process? We do that also by doing interviews, but also by looking at all sorts of documents where they prepare the relocation. And lastly, we also look at the impact of the relocation on its residents. And that's where we observe the daily life of residents and really see how they experience the entire process of relocating.
So when you mean relocation, does that mean a person has been residing in a standard or usual care home or long-term care facility before, and for some reason they're being relocated?
Yes, well, the relocations I have followed so far are all more traditional large-scale facilities, and they are often renovating or building a new care environment. So actually the entire group has to relocate from the old building to the new one. So I followed group locations so far.
Any early findings you can share with us from your PhD already? Anything emerging?
We're still working on, we did a lot of data collection so far, so we are still working on diving deeper into it and the analysis. But I think one broad message that that's a really common theme within all the relocations is that it's quite a stressful procedure. It's a lot of preparation time, a lot of meetings, getting everything to work. And also, of course, a new vision in the new locations, which is also really new for not only the residents, but also for staff members and family members. So, that's something we've noticed throughout all the relocations.
Hopefully the relocation to the more innovative care setting will be ultimately beneficial, though, for everyone. So, but I know Bram and Hilda, you've both done work on green care farms specifically as a specific type of innovative long-term care. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, actually, that was kind of interesting. It was originally from practice. So I did my PhD research on small-scale home-like care environments, and my conclusion was, well, it is not necessarily better for quality of life. And then a green care farmer came to me, approached me, and she said, yeah, you're wrong, because small-scale home-like care is better, because I see it in practice and I do it. So we joined forces and we wrote a call, and they originated a project. So not only that location, but we widened it to another location as well. And that was the PhD study of Bram, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So my research actually followed up on the study of Hilde, which was about small scale settings in general. So I focused on green care farms, and what I basically did is I start comparing these green care farms with other types of small scale living facilities, but also with more traditional large scale wards. And we looked at several outcomes, but I think the most important one was the daily life of residents, because that's actually, because the fact that Hilde didn't find any large differences between small scale and large scale was surprising. And we started thinking, well, what's the reason for that? And it can also have to do with the fact that we are looking at wrong outcomes, for instance, or maybe not the right outcomes. And so we developed an instrument to measure the daily life of residents in different types of nursing homes. And it basically means that you do a lot of observations, several mornings, several afternoons, several evenings, to see what's actually going on and how are people spending their day. So what are their activities? Where do they spend their time? Do they have social interactions? And if so, what kind of interactions are we talking about? But also, what's their mood? Do they show signs of agitation during the day? So a lot of these aspects of daily life, actually observing them as they occur. And we did that in several different locations. And then we did see some differences. So we actually saw that people living at these green care farms had a more active daily life. So they were more active, had more social interactions, also came outside more often compared to these large scale wards particularly. That actually shows that these innovative long-term care concepts can have beneficial effects for the residents.
Suppose it's also about giving people something enjoyable to do, maybe that they've enjoyed in the past as well, isn't it? If they've maybe had a garden in the back or have been farmers, I don't know.
No, exactly. It's a combination. So it's, first of all, there needs to be the opportunity to do all of these kind of activities. But at the same time, what you see is that, for instance, at green care farms, they really look on a personal level. What is it that this person liked to do or still likes to do? And how can we incorporate that in basically in daily life? So it's not only on these physical care needs, but even more so on the well-being. So what can we do to have this person have a meaningful day?
Yeah, so I think your study showed that the green care farm originally was right in the sense that it did have a better thing, because we found quite some big differences, and also with regular, more small scale facilities I use in my study. And that made us also wonder what is happening behind it and what makes such an innovative care environment possible to change daily life. But I do think that that's a crucial insight, because in my opinion, especially in dementia care, we tend to take a medical approach or a biological approach way too much. And people say they don't, but they do, because every behavior people display, they say, it's the origin, it's the dementia, it's the disease that makes a person act the way he or she does. But I don't think that's true, because in Bram's study, we follow people with similar care needs and similar stages of dementia. The only thing was different was their environment. And there we were able to show that the environment directly impacts everyday life. And I think that's a crucial finding. And now we're trying to disentangle what makes the environment, and what makes the mechanisms behind it, so we can also put this in other places and more change regular care, I think.
That's an important point you pick up on there, on what the learnings as well. So my first question is, are green care farms getting more common now in the Netherlands? But then also my second question is whether your research, which you've done now for a few years as well, Hilde and Bram, you as well, does it impact on how care is actually provided in practice in the Netherlands? For example, do you influence policy with your research?
Yes, I think we do. And not only our studies, but I think in general, more all the psychosocial, but also our, because in our living lab, we also directly talk with our Ministry of Health and with the policymakers there and with CEOs of care organizations. And what you see is two things. So one, I do think that over the past, say, 5 years, more and more green care farms are coming. So, and Bram was really looking for one or two who could participate. And now there are much more of them. And what you also see is that regular facilities and other innovative facilities from more regular organizations take over elements of green care farming. And we also see that in Mara's study, so where they take elements of the physical environment mainly and try to take elements from social and organizational environments and implement that in regular care. But what makes it interesting is, and Mara, I think in your studies you see it as well, the physical environment is relatively easy to change, right? And then it looks pretty, it looks nice, there is this greenery, but how do you use it and how do you integrate it in your everyday care process? And I think that is something which these green care farms we have followed have succeeded in already, like making it a congruent environment in which all these elements interact and to support daily life.
Mara, anything you want to add to Hilde?
As Hilde was telling, you see a lot in the care concept that I followed. The new locations were often really beautiful with a different approach in the physical environment. And you often see that it's quite difficult to change what you know and how you're used to giving care, especially when you're in quite a stressful situation, such as a relocation. It's often the case that you take back your old routines because it's stressful enough to be in a new environment and keep it up and running. So it's actually, it's quite a challenge to change your social and organizational context as well.
I think we find that over here in the UK, and I'm sure in many or all other countries, changing that kind of attitude towards learned about delivering care and practice can be very complex and very time consuming as well. So Hilde, you mentioned a little bit about that you as a team are trying to bring out those good concepts of innovative long-term care and apply them more broadly. And you've just mentioned that there are more green care farms. Have you approached other countries about these concepts and try to implement concepts of these innovative long-term care in other countries so far?
Yes, so we are in contact, for example, with researchers from France, but also in the UK, in England, with you from the University of Liverpool, and also at Leeds University. And you see that together we're talking about how can you create that. And then you think of things like gardens, on autonomy increasing, on how can people do more themselves instead of that we as staff take over. And there are, I think, quite a few CEOs of care organizations who have that vision and also want to do that, and who are also interested in getting things over in their countries as well. I think also in Germany, there are a lot of things happening, maybe on a relatively small scale, but there are developing new concepts. And what we try to do with our scientific research is also empowering that getting that evidence into practice and developing new knowledge as well as we go forward. And I think that that's really important. And so we do it like on the content wise, but also on how can you make these partnerships of researchers, people in practice, and developers on how to develop these new concepts.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Bram, you and I, we've particularly looked at data of one project trying to redesign a garden in a UK care home just outside of Liverpool. And I think it's fascinating being more involved in the more implementation side of things, because most of us do so much research, but it takes years and years and years to see any changes. So with this type of work, you can almost envision how it would look like then, didn't it, when we read through the transcripts as well?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also, as Mara is saying, it just shows the complexity of trying to implement these kind of innovative concepts in already existing settings, but also in new settings, it's difficult. And what I like actually is that we are now trying also to get to these new knowledge development together with practice, because we can, of course, based on theory, come up with all of these components of innovative nursing home care, but practice needs to translate that into their work. And that's not something that we can simply do. So that's why it's important to have this co-creation together. And that's also where we are working on now in projects where we say, okay, there is a existing nursing home and they want to implement certain elements, and what's the best way to do that? Or what kind of elements are we talking about and how to translate that into practice? And that's basically what we're doing now. So using the information based on previous projects and research, and yeah, moving that forward to implementing them in practice. Yeah, but yeah, it's not an easy thing.
No, and I think what's important to add is that our research shows that it's the organizational culture and context is crucial for individual behavior of staff, because in the end, you're changing individual behavior and approaches to getting more meaningful activities and getting other support. But it is the ecosystem in which that is embedded, and that is sometimes overlooked in intervention development, or we only look at very discipline specific changes or individual changes. And I think what's important to get more insight in this ecosystem dynamic approach. And we hope that we are can contribute to that more.
Absolutely. It's really about that context. And that's what we've experienced as well, even obtaining data. It's also can be a challenge at times.
Yeah.
As we all know, I think. To finish us off, I'd like to ask all of you, I mean, Mara, you've already alluded to it a little bit. We are still in a pandemic, although it doesn't appear that way in the UK, at least. How has the pandemic impacted on your works, or maybe within the care homes that you're working with? I know Hilda and Bram, you've been particularly involved with looking at safe care and visitation, how the guidance was implemented back in May 2020, I believe. How do you feel it is now? It's over 2 years.
Yeah, for me, it's in the Netherlands, it's the same. It almost feels like COVID is gone. but yeah, for me, it's really a relief to just be able to go to long-term care facilities, to give presentations in real life, to actually talk to people, have small talk more often, because that's quite difficult doing online. And just going to the office and seeing everyone and talking and discussing topics. So yes, I hope we can remain working and researching this way.
I think at the moment, it seems as if it's not here indeed. But then if you look back in the last 2 years, we did, it of course impacted our projects in terms of, okay, at certain points, it was almost impossible to get into care homes, nursing homes, because yeah, we were just not allowed. I must say that was for a short period of time, not relatively short compared to the UK, I think. So it was for about 2 months, which was actually impossible. And then you started seeing also the organizations trying to look for opportunities already, also to collaborate with us again. So that's fortunate, I think. But it definitely impacted work, of course, because we were delayed on several things. But at the moment, it looks good.
All back to normal.
Yeah, true.
Well, but I am a little bit worried for long-term care and the homes, because of course COVID brought us something in the sense that we were all more digital. We were suddenly, everyone was digital, right? So a lot of meetings were digital, so there was contact, etc. But it also showed the importance of social relationships, seeing, etc. And what worries me a bit is that some care homes still have these visitation guidelines. It really brought up back a big split between family and staff, and there wasn't enough contact for way too long between family and their residents and their loved ones and staff, and that has to start again. And staff is tired, and they have suffered so much throughout the whole pandemic, and I hope it doesn't set us back years in time, because there was so much energy in the sector and there was so much positivity regarding the psychosocial approaches and the meaningfulness and everyday life. And so I hope that also with project like innovating in care and how can we change things, that will come back. And so I think in that sense the pandemic has not at all a positive thing.
Yeah, maybe I think in a way it also validated the fact that it that there is this variation in terms of how well this new care approach, new care vision is actually implemented, because you see when then a lockdown occurs, some of these innovative care concepts actually tried looking for alternatives for the residents to still have contact with family, with the neighborhood, et cetera. Whereas others just said, well, we're in a lockdown, that's not possible. So that's immediately there. You also see the differences in in terms of how well this care vision is implemented.
That's fascinating that it spills over into how innovative and creative are we as an organization now adapting to these circumstances, that you've witnessed that.
Yeah, and I think that's the crucial point, because we can talk about innovative, but sometimes people use innovative just to do exactly the same they always did, but it looks differently from an aesthetic point of view. And I think what we mean is what you're saying, that we have to be creative, dynamic organizations in fulfilling needs of people, like autonomy, like feeling belongingness, safety, and all these issues, and personhood, and how can we contribute to that as staff, as family, together. And so I think that's really important in setting up these innovations. And I hope we hope to support long-term care in that.
Well finished there, Hilda. I'm going to finish on that. So thank you all. That's been really interesting. Lovely chat with all three of you. And I've learned more about what innovative long-term care can mean or should mean as well. So if you want to find out more about today's panelists, have a look at the bio with more details. And hopefully this episode has given you an idea of how long-term care can be advanced and how we can learn from good practice in different settings. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.